The prophet Micah, chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. In the name of our Lord. The prophet Micah was a part of a remarkable development in the 8th century before Christ, namely what we call the rise of literary prophecy. Previous centuries had produced great prophets like Elijah and Elisha, and we read about them in the historical books of the Old Testament, but there is no book of the prophet Elijah or of the prophet Elisha in the Bible. They didn't leave a written record of their utterances as prophets. But when we come to the century of the 700s before Christ, we meet several prophets who wrote by inspiration of God and produced books which came to be preserved in the canon of sacred scripture. We meet Hosea, Amos, Micah, and Isaiah. They all flourished in this same century. At the beginning of his book, the prophet Micah tells us that he came from a small town in the kingdom of Judah, southwest of Jerusalem, a place called Moreshet. And he tells us that his career as a prophet spanned the reigns of three kings from the line of King David, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And so he experienced firsthand the worst of the kings of Judah in the person of Ahaz, and the very best in the person of Hezekiah. It appears that Micah knew his more famous contemporary, the prophet Isaiah, although they moved in very different social circles. Isaiah lived in the big city, Jerusalem, and associated directly with the kings of Judah and other people of high standing. Micah, on the other hand, was apparently a country boy, and there's no record of any direct association that he had with the powerful and the famous. Their books are similar in style and content. One section of Micah is, in fact, almost word for word identical to a section in the prophet Isaiah. Micah's book can be thought of as the Reader's Digest version of Isaiah. Isaiah produced a book of 66 chapters. Micah got it done in 7. During the holiday season, we will be reminded of the number and the clarity and the beauty of the prophecies of Isaiah concerning the Messiah, the promised Savior. It was Isaiah who told wicked King Ahaz, for instance, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." It was Isaiah who wrote, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice." It was Isaiah who prophesied, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, the father of King David, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." But it was given by the Holy Spirit to the prophet Micah to add this prophecy concerning the Messiah, that he would be born in Bethlehem, the hometown of King David. Bethlehem was a small and obscure place among the clans of the tribe of Judah, as Micah shows us, but God chose to make it the place where his son in human flesh would make his first appearance among men. And furthermore, he chose to put the prophecy about this fact into the mouth of Micah from the village of Moreshet. And what a remarkable explanation Micah provides concerning the nature of this one who was to be born in Bethlehem. He says, his goings forth, that is, his origins, did not begin, as in the case of all other human beings, with his conception and birth. His origins are in eternity. They are from of old, the prophet says, from everlasting, from the eternal decree of God the Father concerning his Son, recorded in Psalm 2, you are my Son today. In eternity, I have begotten you. The birth of this Son of David in the city of David would be the culmination of a series of promises given by God. To David, it had been said, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. And that promise connects with the word given to Abraham 1,000 years earlier. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that promise links up with the assurance given to Adam and Eve after the fall into sin, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the evil one. And in the fullness of time, God caused it to happen. He sent forth his son, born of a woman from the lineage of King David, and he caused him to be born under the law in conformity with all the Old Testament scriptures had prophesied and specified concerning how righteousness was to be provided for mankind. And the purpose of it all was to provide redemption for those who had no hope of redemption in themselves. What remarkable circumstances God employed to bring Micah's prophecy to fulfillment. Mary and Joseph were both descendants of King David, but they didn't live in David's hometown. They were a part of what we call the Jewish diaspora, that is, the scattered condition of the people of Judah. They lived in Nazareth in Galilee, several days' journey from Bethlehem. But God used a decree from the mouth of the most powerful man in the world at that time, the first Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, the city of David, to register with the Roman census takers. And there she gave birth, that it might be fulfilled what was written in the prophet Micah, you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Caesar Augustus had no idea that someday his reign as Roman emperor, that is, the year 27 before Christ to the year of our Lord 14, would be dated in relation to the birth of a Jewish boy whose parents had to make a journey to Bethlehem out of obedience to his decree. The power of Caesar Augustus was great, the power of God infinitely greater. But more important still, the greatness of the compassion of God, who gave his only begotten Son, caused him to take to himself our flesh and blood, and did so to provide for us the hope of redemption from sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil. The message of the prophet Micah and all the prophets and the apostles can be summed up in two clear points. Point one, mankind, you need a savior. Without such a savior, you are doomed. And point two, God has provided exactly that savior you need in the person of this one who is the Son of God and Mary's son. Because of him, we can live in hope under the words spoken by the angels to the shepherds of Bethlehem. Fear not, you have a Savior. Amen. Let us all pray. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that of your mercy and compassion you caused your Son to become incarnate and through him redeemed us from sin and everlasting death. We beseech you, enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may be ever thankful for such grace, and comfort ourselves thereby in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.